When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza.
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require porting of number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. It's Wednesday night. And you are live on the Miracle Man Show. And going to be a good show. This is the producer. Producers always stand around in the background and kind of, you know, make things happen. And so I'll give you a few details here. And then the Miracle Man will be with us. And we'll have a great show. Don't know where you are tonight, but if there's a whole bunch of snow where you are, then enjoy yourself. There's a lot of snow where we are. A whole lot of snow where we are. I don't know if you know how to count in whole lottas, but there's a pretty good snowstorm going in northern Michigan. So here's how this works. It's Christmas time in the city and in the country and everywhere you go. There's a guy in his front-wheel drive, and he's going 85. He's out there being crazy in the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like the Christmas season. So here's how it works. 215-383-3810. That's the number to call. Call in to the show. Hold on. I got to make a couple phone calls here. See if I can get the Miracle Man. Get him connected on this snowy night. So, there's how it works. If you would like to call in and enjoy the show. Let me see. Well, I'm just working here for a minute, trying to make this all come together. If you want to call in and enjoy the show, 215-383-3810. That's the number. And I'm going to get the Miracle Man connected here directly so he can be a part of the show. What I got to do? I used to be really good at this, doing three things at once. I'm going to have to hone my skills in a little bit. All right. So the Miracle Man's going to come on, and he's going to read tonight from the Christmas story. And he might read out of Hebrews, but he's going to be reading the Christmas story from now on. And that way you'll be able to enjoy the Christmas story, the Christmas season, and enjoy this whole process. As you can tell, I'm having just a little bit of trouble multitasking here tonight, but I think I got it. So, let's see if we got the Miracle Man over here on this other line. Miracle Man, is that you?
Yes.
Yes, welcome aboard. You. Welcome aboard the Miracle Man Show.
Hello, buddy. Hello, everybody. You were live on the air. And where were you at?
Well, I was kind of all over. I just was giving the phone number and telling everybody who's going to read the Christmas story, and glad they were here with us. And I am,
and it's fitting because we got road trouble up the wazoo today from all the snow.
Yeah?
We got road trouble up the wazoo today.
All right.
The roads are a mess.
Well, I drove 400 miles in it, Miracle Man, and didn't have any trouble, so hallelujah.
By trouble, I just meant, like, you know, it's real snow-covered and stuff.
Yes, sir. So, that's it's all yours, man. Take it away.
So, I'm going to start right out. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this great program. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless me for... I thank you, Lord God, that you just bless me. You bless the people who are listening to this, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God, blessing us. And, Lord God, I pray for those who are driving right now. I claim that you keep these people safe so that they're those that are out driving, you just keep them safe and sound. And there won't be crashes all over the place or any of that, Lord God. I just thank you that your hand will be on everybody. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I am at McDonald's, and McDonald's would love you to try their eggnog shakes. Very good. It's a milkshake with some eggnog put in it, and it very delicious. The eggnog shake is amazing. It's my favorite shake that McDonald's even does. Try a small today for just $2. But the shake won't last. When it's gone, it's gone. After Christmas. So, with that in mind, the Word of God, and to go to Let's go to Luke chapter. Let me see here. What does 3 have? I'm just taking a look. Sorry, I'm just looking my Bible real quick here for a second. You know, John the Baptist had a part of it, but I'm going to go to 1, and I'm going to talk about this Queen Elizabeth and see what happened. You know what? I'm going to go back to 2 and read 2 again like I did yesterday. Actually, I'm going to go to where it was prophesied in the 26th verse of chapter 1 and going to start reading from there. So if you got your Bible, go to Luke 1:26, please. And I'm going to be beginning right now. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, where a virgin planned to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of Santa Claus." Does it say that, Preacher Man? Does it say that?
I was on the mute there, but no, that doesn't say the throne of Santa Claus. Santa Claus bows.
Okay. I was just seeing if people were listening. The Most High, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to be with child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is her sixth month." Oh, what are your keys doing in there, Shelley? Seriously.
You guys all right?
Sorry, folks. Now, it has nothing to do with the Word of God. And now we're. Who was thought to be in her success? For nothing is impossible. I'm halting for a second because, folks, I really want you to let that sink in. This idea that with God, nothing is possible. I mean, nothing is impossible, excuse me. When the spirit of death would take me when I was very little, and my mom cried out to God for healing for me and all, because I could have been given a shot. It would have been over. But my mom basically told those doctors, "Don't give him a shot." That was the word of God. The word of the Lord for me to not have a shot. Ended my life. And look at doing this Miracle Man show. I did good in school and all that. But, you know, none of this would have been possible. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb for joy. And the baby's leaping for joy because now in the middle of verse 41. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. But a loud voice in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. The blessed is the child you will bear." But why I that so favored? Baby in my womb. Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord has said to her will be Esau. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies. My spirit rejoices in God. In God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty name has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy exists to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds, and with his arm, he has scattered those who are in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, his descendants forever." Sorry, folks, we're just putting on that real quick light. Hello?
Hello, you're there.
Oh, good. Most thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was open and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all of these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? for the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets of long ago, a salvation of our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him, all our fathers. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. And you will go on before the time to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge and salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because the tender mercy of our God, to which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to share of those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. In these days, now we're going to go to part of chapter 2. In these days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Judea. And everyone went to his own town to register. So, oh my gosh, what's going on? How did it just come out of there like that? Yeah. Here we go. And I turned before I wanted to, but they agree that a census should be taken. The census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord was shown around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. But suddenly, a great of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen them, out the world concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pronounced, and she pondered them in her heart. And shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was even born. Before he had even been conceived, actually, when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated by the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or of two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for them what was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, and now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light and a revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people in Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, and said to his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken for against. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will be pierce your own soul too. This was about. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything that was required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast and for Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, when his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. They were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. They then began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw them, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Why are you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? But why did you understand what he was saying to them?" They did not understand what he was saying to them, excuse me. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now,
hey, you know what, Miracle Man?
Yes, preacher.
Isn't it something that even Jesus had to grow up?
Oh, yeah. And even Jesus.
Lord, help us all grow up, eh?
Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, help us. Yeah. And because he was, you know, in that temple asking questions, rightly so, because somehow he knew. His parents told him. And if not, maybe it was even God that told him also. And he spoke directly to him and told him, "You know, you're going to go and you're going to preach the good news. Your time's going to come and you're going to go into all the world, Jesus. You're going to go into all the world and you're going to preach the good news. And you're going to heal the blind. You're going to give freedom to the captives. And you're going to do all these wonderful things. And you're going to teach that, you know, this is the day. This is the day." And it's so great, you know, this birth of Jesus is such a great thing. I'm going to talk to you about what was it said that Jesus would do. In Matthew chapter 1, towards the end of the chapter, it says very specifically, you will have a son. You are to call him the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What this is talking about is salvation. It said Jesus would be born, and then he would save us from our sins. He'll save us. That's part of why we talk so much about this salvation prayer, the prayer of salvation. Jesus will save you. You're asking to. He'll save you from your sins. And, you know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, everything you did beforehand is wiped out. Everything you do after the fact, though, is you have to give an account to it. And it also says that Jesus would be a healer. He'd give sight to the blind. He'd make the lame to walk. He'd make the deaf to hear. It was told that he would do great things, and that includes, you know, healing miracles. It is also said by prophets that he would calm the storm with his own hands. And that he would, you know, it was said that he would do so many great things and so many great miracles. To sum it up, it's basically said that he would be a miracle. It is also said that he would give, that he would be our provider and our comforter. So it is so great to think about this idea, you know, that he came to this earth and he came to save us from our own sin and to save us, and to give us a second chance. He's our second chance because, you know, before Jesus came, if you did these certain sins, you had to do all these crazy things and all these crazy animals. You had to, you'd have to kill an animal to talk to God and all this crazy stuff and all these. Okay, not exactly that, but it was a long list of stuff you had to do if you did a certain thing if you wanted to be clean. And with Jesus, doesn't work that way anymore. God, it doesn't work that way anymore. Because he was brought into this life, and then he died for our sins. But that's Easter, but we're going to talk about that when that time comes. But now back to the birth. He gave us a second chance. He gave us a second chance. And we're so glad that we get to be Christians and to serve this great King. So it was said he'd be a healer. It was said that he'd forgive us of he would save us from our sins and forgive us. And it was said that he would deliver us. You know, if you're going through some stuff, if you're going through some oppression or depression right now, maybe with it being around the holiday times, Christmas time, maybe you're thinking of maybe some family who may have died during the holidays. You know, you can ask God to deliver you from that oppression or depression right now. suffering with some kind of addiction, you can ask God to deliver you from it. He will. He'll deliver us from the evil. He'll deliver us from things that sow and snare us. And he'll deliver us from those things. And so in a sense, what did he come to do? He came to save. He came to heal. He came to deliver. And he came to give life. As well as to preach, of course. And oh, did he preach. From the age of 30 to the age of 33, all these great parables he taught us, all these wonderful teachings on these miracles he did, and you know, that's what the gospel is all about. So, again, those things he came to do, the five things he came to do, now there's others too, but the basic five that I've come up with is, number one, he came to save us from our sins. Number two, he came to heal us, whether it be in our bodies, whether it be in our hearts, we have a broken heart or something, whether it be something in our mind, it could be anything. He came to heal us. Number three, he came to deliver us. Four, he came to give life. And then number five, he came to number five was that he came to preach and teach. But you know, that is exactly what he was brought into this earth to do. And oh, did he do it. He did so great. Now, dear Jesus, I just thank you, Lord God, for this word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that people would remember that this is what Jesus came to do. And if people ask, you know, for example, hey, Joe, what did Jesus was born into this earth, but what did he come to do? And then Joe can say, Jesus came to do the following five things, which is to save, heal, deliver, give life, and teach. But the main ones you need to know are the first four. Save, heal, deliver, give life. So that's, and I just pray, Lord God, that, you know, that these people would be able to tell others about what Jesus came to do. And I thank you, Lord God, for this great season. You know, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, to get into our Christmas song of the night, and I was thinking of this. There's this great story behind this song. A very long time ago, in the late 1800s, there was a Christmas Eve service in England in a small church. The organ broke. So they had wanted to come up with a song that could be sung without musical instruments. And through that process, they came up with Silent Night, which is one of America's most popular Christian Christmas songs. So without further ado, here we go. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Oh, and so tender and mild, sleeping heavenly peace, sleeping heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, ever early streamer afar, holy angels sing hallelujah. Christ our Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, where shepherds great at the sound, angry voices in heaven, waving hands from heaven afar. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Now, you think about that, this idea, you know, to sleep in heavenly peace, and this idea that Jesus Christ was the Lord from birth, and this idea that the Savior was born. He's our Lord and Savior. And he can be your Lord and Savior. You give your life to him right now. And when I'm not talking about a night where we're just silent. There was a greatness, a divineness about this silence. And so, you know, the story of that organ, it's pretty cool. Not the idea that the organ broke, but the idea that they were able to come up with such a great a cappella song that didn't need instrumentation. And this fact that it still is today one of the most popular Christmas songs on earth. And so, you know, you just think about that and you just go, wow, there's more to this than what I realized. But as Christmas continues to approach, next week we're going to talk a bit more and delve into what about those wise men? What were they to do? And we're going to talk about the idea of why Jesus got the gifts he got. And so we're going to keep talking about this Christmas stuff. And we're going to keep the singing Christmas songs going. And, you know, Christmas is 12 days. And, today's the 13th, so 12 days from now it'll be Christmas. And our chance for a white Christmas, as it is snowing outside right now, I would honestly put our chance of a white Christmas as basically almost 100%. Almost 100%. And so that wants me to, after I knew my sports update, to sing a special, wonderful Christmas song that I'm sure all of you know. It's a fun song, and that's what we're going to end the show with. All right. So, now it is time to get into the sports. It's time to delve into the sports and to get into, you know, the football stuff of the weekend is coming up, as well as a somewhat surprise that Michigan did last night for basketball. And so I'm going to start actually with basketball from last night. In college basketball, you had Michigan defeat Texas in Austin 79-72. Offense did a pretty good job, and they were able to stop Texas, and they were able to slow them down and do their job. And however, unfortunately, Pistons game, the Pistons last night were at home, and they lose 108-100. At one point, within like a span of 5 minutes, they turned the ball over 8 times. Andre Drummond did have a double-double, though, so he's continuing to do a good job and be a good contributor. But the Pistons are right now on a 7-game losing streak. They started off pretty good, but you're going to lose 7 in a row. That's not a good sign. That's really not a good sign. Pistons play again in a couple days. Red Wings play tonight at home. The game can be listened to starting at 7 p.m. on 790 WSTW. Now, it's time for football. We begin with, as usual, your Detroit Lions, who play a Saturday game this week to take on the Chicago Bears at Ford Field at 4:30. Lions are 7-6 right now, looking to keep the momentum going and looking to hope that one of the teams in the NFC South can peter out a bit, and maybe Seattle also, so that they could maybe get into the playoffs. But it's going to be a lot of hoping, and they got to keep winning. I mean, they got to win tonight. I mean, Saturday, they're going to have to win Saturday, and they're going to have to win the rest of their games if they want to get in. But that could be a tough task because Aaron Rodgers is back with the Packers. So just to let you all know, because the college football regular season has ended, for the next couple weeks until the college bowl game season gets going, I'm going to be picking some more NFL games because I said I'd be picking 6 games in a weekend. So it's going to be all be NFL games that I'm going to pick because I said it was going to call it Pick Six. You know, the idea of I got the idea of the Pick Six from the idea of when your defense takes an interception that your opponent threw and you run it back in for a touchdown. So that's why I call it the Miracle Man's Football Pick Six So, with that in mind, number one, and of course when the Lions play, at least for the NFL portion, earlier we had college, high school, and pro, but since it's just pro right now, the first game we're going to pick, game one, you have the Lions and the Bears at Ford Field Saturday at 4:30. Stafford threw two interceptions last week, but I think that he will be able to get that worked out, get that fixed, you know, with his arm so that he can be get back to being a better quarterback again. The Bears at one point looked like they could have made some stuff happen, but they have really faltered since then. I look for the Lions to beat the Bears by the score of 33-21 at Ford Field to get a nice win for Saturday. Number two, you're going to have the Chargers versus the Chiefs. Both of them have identical records. You had the Chiefs start awesome. You had the Chargers. The Chiefs have been on a total downward spiral in the last 5 or 6 games of the season. They've totally been in a downward spiral as of late, where the Chargers have been rising. Phillip Rivers is doing a pretty good job with his Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers. And when I look at this game, I have to go with the Chargers. I see the Chargers winning 27-24 over the Chiefs. The Chiefs, who at one point had was the only team left who was undefeated. They're struggling. I think they might not make the playoffs. We'll have to see, but I think the Chargers are going to win this game. I think the Chargers are going to win this that division in the AFC West. Number three, you have Green Bay at Carolina on Sunday at 1 p.m. Carolina is looking to win another game after they were able to stop Minnesota from that long winning streak they were on. And they were able to stop Minnesota. Carolina was. Now you have Green Bay with Rodgers back. And I think he could be energized and up and ready to go. Do I think he's going to get a win this week? No. I think he'll get a win. One win before the end of the season. It won't be this week, though. This week, I do honestly think that the Packers are going to lose to the Panthers. It's in Carolina. So Rodgers is going to have to work with his receivers, work through all that noise. As we all know, Carolina is going to be very loud. They have a pretty loud fan base. Football in general and pro football has some pretty loud fan bases, but the South is known for some of the loud ones. And so I think that'll be the case in Charlotte on Sunday. So it's going to be loud, and I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle for Rodgers. but I do think they'll be able to make it close, but no cigar. I think you can give me the Panthers over the Pack by a score of 31-27. Number four, Patriots Jets. The Jets have surprisingly have been a somewhat decent team. They're about 500. And let's face it, the Patriots did just lose in Miami. And so...
What did you say?
I said the Patriots just lost to the Dolphins in Miami.
Are you serious?
Yes, they did. I said that last night on the show.
I missed it. I missed it. What happened?
Well, Patriots lost 27-20 in Miami. Brady threw two interceptions. One of them was turned into points by the Dolphins. They had the lead at certain points, but was unable to hold it. Miami got ahead of them and stayed there.
It was too hot, wasn't it? Those guys don't know how to play unless it's cold.
You know, they've honestly been struggling a little bit this year with teams in their division. Uh-oh. They lost to the Bills. They lost to the Jets, Jets earlier, and they lost to the Dolphins. But I didn't say what I said. But and now I'm trying to pick this game. But you know, it is Patriots Jets this week. I do think the Patriots will get back on track as they look to win that NFC East. I think they get a win this week. I think they'll be able to win it, but it's not going to be an easy win. You can give me the Patriots over the Jets, 21-20 on a field goal.
Uh-oh.
Near the end of the game. Yep. Now, that's four. Number five. Buccaneers and Falcons. Buccaneers almost beat the Lions, but they weren't able to do it. They made it close, but they still lost to the Lions. Tampa Bay, people were saying that Tampa Bay was going to be really good this year, but they're in last place in the NFC South. They're 5-6. Excuse me, they're like 6-7. Struggling a bit with some injuries. At Atlanta, though, who at 8-5, they're really trying to get back in the division so they can possibly win it. And what's going to happen with that division? It's hard to tell, but all times, games of the season, I'm predicting all the games that have an NFC South opponent, which in this case, there is and two NFC South opponents, two NFC South teams. You got the, you have the Buccaneers playing the Falcons. And what do I see? I see the Falcons able to get it done. I think this one's going to be a little bit tougher of a loss for the Bucs than the Detroit loss. I think they'll lose by a few more points. I'd say give me Falcons over Buccaneers by a score of 31-21. Number five. What? The Vikings. Can you look something up real quick? Is Preacher Man, is it the Saints that the Vikings play this weekend?
Say that again?
Do the Vikings play the Saints this weekend, or do they play someone else?
I will be right back with you.
I think it's Saints. Because I got to think about it if it is.
See, 12-17 is, right? 12-17, that's the
yep.
Bengals.
Oh, Vikings, Bengals. Nope. I'm going to skip that one. The Saints, this and the Saints play.
Hold on. On the wrong website, but I'm on the right one now.
Saints play. What about the Saints?
The Saints play. Oh, when the Saints come out there. Hold on. Here it is. Oh. Week 15. That's where we are, right?
Yes. 12-17/18. Yep.
The Saints. Oh, when the Saints are playing the Jets.
Oh, whoops. So the Patriots are playing, but so it's actually Saints, Jets, Patriots play, but they're going to win this weekend. They're going to win. They're going to get back on track. Saints, Jets is number 5. Saints versus the Jets, but they got to do it in New Orleans.
Patriots are playing the Steelers.
Patriots, Steelers. So number 3 again. Patriots playing the Steelers on Sunday. Two of the best teams in the league. Patriots have the best receivers, the best defensive end, and they score the most points in the league so far this year. Never before in the history has a team had all of this all at once going on, which it looks like it could happen at the end of the season. You have the Steelers and you have the Patriots. Both are doing great things. To be honest with you folks, because I just realized that they're playing the Steelers, I feel like I have to rescind that pick and actually go with the Steelers to take this one.
Whoa.
I think it's going to be the Steelers 31, Patriots 28. Brady did throw 2 picks, by the way, Monday night. Not that that's a factor, but, you know, they are playing the Steelers. The Steelers were someone the Lions should have beat because they outplayed the Steelers in all sort of a bunch of different ways, but they still lost on the scoreboard and didn't score any touchdowns. So, give me Steelers over Patriots, 31-28. So, and I already said number 4, but that was going to be the Falcons over the Buccaneers. Number 5. Game number 5 takes us to New Orleans, where the Saints do take on the Jets, Jets. And quite honestly, what do I see? I see the Saints, who are trying to come back from a loss to the Falcons, and the Jets team that is doing okay, but at the same time struggling. They don't have a great team this year. I would say go ahead and give me the Saints over the Jets. This is going to be 28-21, Saints over the Jets. Now, the Bills are playing the
Dolphins.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yep, Bills-Dolphins is another game. Where do I see Bills Dolphins? Bills started off good this year like the Chiefs, but have sputtered. Dolphins have been up and down all year. They go up, then they go down. Then they go up, then they go down. They go up, they go down. I see the Dolphins as a team with some momentum from after Monday, after they beat the Patriots. What do I see? I see the Dolphins over the Bills. They're going to be able to beat the Bills. I think this is going to be 34-27. Dolphins over Bills. So, to go again, over. Who do I see winning? Lions. Over the Lions over the Bears. I have the Panthers over the Packers. I have Saints winning. I have the Steelers winning. I have the Dolphins winning. And I have Atlanta winning. So as you can see, I have quite a few Southern teams winning. And rightfully so, because the NFC South really is competitive. AFC South, not so much. Kind of, but not to the same extent as the NFC South. But those are the games that I've chosen to pick for the weekend. So, folks, just a reminder before I sing this great song about the winter wonderland. Now, this is just a kind of advice. If you're already at home right now, if you do not have to go out tonight and you're in the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, especially the southern parts, if I'm you and I'm at home, I would not go out. Those roads are very dangerous. The only way I would go out is if I absolutely had to. Now, I will just to get home from McDonald's, but after that, I'm staying put the rest of the night. But if you're going to go out on the roads with these conditions, make sure you have an emergency kit with the appropriate necessities in it. Make sure your car has a good amount of gas. Make sure you have a flashlight, water in your vehicle. Make sure your windshields and frosters and everything are in good working order, because you really have need of it, and you'll make good use of it. Winter storm warnings are in effect till 11 p.m. on the west side of the state, and until midnight in the eastern part of the state, from Midland on downward. And speaking of winter, now is the time for that great Christmas song I told you about that I was going to sing. So here we go. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow's glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is a bluebird, here to stay is a new bird, who sings a long song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, and pretend that he is Parson Brown. You'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job while you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face, I'm afraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he's a circus clown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman and tell the other kitties knock him down. Snowman knows it's a thrilling, don't you know it's a chilling, to frolic and play the Eskimo way, walking in a winter wonderland, yeah. Walking in a winter wonderland, yeah. Walking in a winter wonderland. You got that right. It is a winter wonderland outside. Be careful. Be safe. And before I say the God first God always, let me pray over our youth. Dear Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for these great listeners. I speak Psalm 91 over all these people. For those who are in Michigan or in another place where it's snowing, I know in Buffalo and New York State, they're getting a bunch of snow there too. A bit more than here even. But Lord God, I thank you that wherever these people are listening that are in a winter storm, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that you protect them and you be with them. You keep them in all of their ways. I claim that Psalm 91 over these people. I claim that nothing shall come nigh their dwelling, that you'll be with them and you'll keep them safe, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you give them wisdom and how to deal with this. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon these people. And Psalm 91 protection, that we're not going to hear about these crazy amounts of car crashes. Because, in case you didn't know this, a 25-year-old lost her life. A 25-year-old from Midland driving out on a county road Monday night lost her life. Thank you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, no one's going to die on these roads tonight in the name of Jesus, that you just keep people safe. And I just claim, Lord God, that people are going to have a great weekend and that your hand's just going to be upon us all and that we are going to do great things for you, Lord Jesus. I say no murderer, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no terrorist. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us, our immediate loved ones. We're going to be in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus.